You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Imagine yourself unemployed, and you pick up the evening newspaper and turn to the classified section. Suddenly, your attention is drawn to an unusual ad which reads, "Wanted, energetic individual for domestic chores. Feed the children 3 times a day or more. Take the children to and from school. Take out the garbage. Prepare the meals. Clean the oven. Shop for groceries. Feed the pets, keep track of credit card charges, pay all the bills, wash the car, scrub the shower walls, clean the bathroom toilet, wash the dishes, iron the shirts, fold the clothes, mend tears in the clothes, replace all missing buttons, rake and water the lawn, take the children to scouts, serve as a nurse, replace light bulbs, make the beds, and spray for insects." After reading this endless list of daily tasks, then the payment or the salary is listed. And what does this type of job pay? Nothing. The salary is listed as none. You work out of love, and most of the time, very few people will appreciate you. Now, if this sounds ridiculous, then some of us may not be aware of what is really happening around us. Housewives and mothers often do each of these tasks I mentioned, plus many, many more. And for their endless hours of labor, they receive no salary. And often they do not even receive the slightest expression of appreciation. Today, however, on the basis of our Bible-based and Christ-centered message, we salute, yes, we congratulate, the many mothers and homemakers who have contributed so much to our society and who are the indispensable God-given backbone of our nation. Without God-fearing wives, mothers, and grandmothers, our present culture could never exist. Only on the final day of judgment shall the truth be revealed. The countless acts of kindness and the endless lists of loving acts cheerfully given every hour by mothers, by homemakers, and by grandmothers of our land. And to highlight the urgent need for more God-fearing wives and mothers, let us today hear the words expressed by St. Paul to his youthful helper, Timothy. In his inspired letter, St. Paul reminds Timothy of the phenomenal impact his mother and grandmother had made on his life. St. Paul writes, "For I am mindful, Timothy, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure," St. Paul said, "that it is in you, Timothy, as well." St. Paul did not credit his youthful colleague in such a way as to encourage self-pride. Instead, the apostle directed all credit to the sincere, God-given faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. It was the Christ-centered love, the patience, and the persistence of these two God-fearing women which God used to build a solid, unshakable foundation in the life of this young man. The religious attitude, yes, the sincere faith demonstrated by Timothy's mother and grandmother can surely serve as a powerful role model for all housewives and mothers who today are often wondering where they can turn for help as they seek to be effective wives, loving mothers, gracious homemakers, and useful grandmothers. Young Timothy had been raised in a home where God was the center of all activity, and the faith of his mother and grandmother was built neither on empty tradition nor on meaningless religious habits. The faith of these women was alive, it was vibrant and contagious. These women had experienced the mercy of our loving God, our God of indescribable grace, who sent his Son Jesus to die for our sins, for our failures, and for all our mistakes. A Savior who can break down grudges in families, establish forgiveness as a daily attitude of the home, and give younger people like teenagers and even older people in retirement a true reason to live. How could any sincere wife or mother refuse to embrace the help that God is offering today as it comes to us from our text in St. Paul's letter to Timothy? World leaders are now extremely dubious regarding the future of our planet. Several months ago, 75 Nobel Prize winners, some of the very best minds in the whole world, met in Paris. They talked for several days. They discussed some of the gigantic challenges which loom like storm clouds around our globe. They aired many ideas, but according to the magazine U.S. News and World Report, this prestigious group, constituting some of the best thinkers alive, struggled with these difficult problems. And yet, according to the magazine article, they found no agreement on the solution to the problems of mankind. In simple words, 75 of the most brilliant minds of our so-called modern world could offer absolutely no solutions to the dilemmas which now challenge every one of us. And so we must reluctantly admit the future of the world is, at best, extremely uncertain. And through the Apostle Paul, God reminds us that if children are going to make it in this confused world, they are going to need the assistance provided by the sincere faith of their parents and grandparents, a faith established upon the unswerving conviction that God does indeed exist and that God has given us Jesus Christ as the only true light in our sin-darkened world. Phony religion and godless living shall only hasten the demise of today's youth. Timothy, the young man referred to in our text for today, grew up under challenging conditions. He was the son of a mixed marriage. His mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile of Greek origin. It would be pure folly to believe that young Timothy was spared all of the temptations of joining the many contemporary cults and religions. He was surely tempted to taste of the youthful lusts of his time. But this young man was not an easy target for the devil. Timothy had a special divine protection. He was clad in the divine armor of God's living word. From the sincere faith of his mother Eunice, and also from his grandmother, Timothy had received the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. By faith in Jesus, the Word incarnate, Timothy took up the full armor of God as he battled to succeed in his struggle with the devil. His loins were girded with truth. Timothy put on the breastplate of righteousness. In addition to all, he took up the shield of faith with which he was enabled to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And this same faith is available for all young people today. This faith, established upon the power of Jesus Christ, is the same faith parents need to communicate to their children. Timothy had been raised in a home where the mother and the grandmother offered more than empty tradition for religion. The Word of God tells us that their faith was sincere. The heart and core of their faith was a daily trust in God's living Word. They lived and they longed to see Jesus, the incarnate Word. These were women of daily prayer. For them, worship of the true God was their lifeblood. What a powerful example for women today who are searching for ways and techniques to raise their children and to prepare them for all the damaging onslaughts of the evil one. He who lurks at each of life's turns, hoping to destroy our future. Preparing young people to survive in our society of confused values requires neither excessive money nor an overabundance of material goods. The essential, indispensable ingredient is a Christ-centered attitude in life received from the parents. Let us say that you give your children a very large inheritance of money or possessions. Within years, yes, within days, all of this can be forever lost. However, when God uses you as parents to establish a foundation of faith for the future lives of your children, then no one, including the devil himself, can wrench away this bedrock of divine protection granted to us through sincere faith in the Almighty God. Clear advice to parents urging them to establish their children's future upon an unshakable faith in God, instead of upon the shifting sands of money and material possessions, cannot be stressed enough. An interesting report released at the beginning of this calendar year was a surprise and a shock to many now studying the attitudes of today's youth. The American Council on Education surveyed more than 200,000 students, and it was revealed that the number of young people who believe getting rich is what life is all about has increased. Yes, it has jumped from 39% to a stunning 75% in only 20 years. Simply stated, 3/4 of our college students now believe happiness and hope for life can be found in money and wealth. And this same report shows that only a small minority of students today believe that having a meaningful philosophy of life is the important thing. The youth of our generation, they are not alone to be blamed for taking such a distorted view of life. It is we adults, are the ones who have actively established such values. Or it is we adults who have passively permitted such grotesque philosophies to hold sway among us. Materialism has become our god. Statistics recently cited reveal that the average person is subjected to over 560 commercials every day. And at the same time, the Gallup poll further revealed that we are a society which is biblically illiterate. That means we recognize countless commercials the very instant the first visual appears on television. We memorize the jingles. We consciously and unconsciously hum the tunes. But we know very little, if anything, about what God is saying in His living Word, the Bible. No wonder, then, that the American Council on Education recently learned that teenagers in the last 2 decades have turned away in droves from seeking a decent philosophy in life and have instead embraced a burning desire to become rich. Mothers and housewives, today is your day. We salute you. Yes, we celebrate the countless ways in which you have so lovingly ministered to your families and so gallantly served our nation. You are the indispensable part of our culture. Without you, our nation could go nowhere. And so today, since you women occupy such an enviable position of influence among us, and since you are the ones with the greatest influence on our children and our future, we plead with you to do all within your power to transfer a sincere faith through communicating of the Word of God to your children. Imitate Timothy's mother and grandmother. Their sincere faith, transferred through daily devotions of God's Word and daily prayer, became the solid bulwark of a young Christian. And as a result, Timothy's influence permeated and turned toward God the lives of countless millions of people. Christian mothers and God-fearing grandmothers, we need your leadership and help today as we've never needed it before. Many years ago, it was graphically stated, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation," and this is still true today. Begin today by recognizing that the only armor available, capable of repelling dangerous arrows of the devil and protecting your family and loved ones from failure and harm, is the living Word of God. The Word of God can never be compared to the mere word of man. Man's word, at best, can only tell us what to do. God's word is living. It is in itself a dynamic agent. It creates faith in little children. This divine word protects from danger. The same word God used to create the world, He now uses to recreate people. And when people are converted to the Christian faith, this is more than a mere attitude adjustment. Conversion, true Christian conversion, is an entirely new creation. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation." Oh, the Word of God is so powerful, and when young people are taught and built up with the Word of God, they are truly fortified by the Spirit of God from within. Parents and grandparents, take close notice and heed the loving admonition of your gracious God to train up children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Train up a child, daily demonstrating that the unmerited forgiveness of Christ and the undeserved love of God the Father is the only true cornerstone of a Christian home. Train up a child using the cleansing and healing power of God as your instrument. And then when your children are grown, they will never depart from this life-giving source. All too many children have said no to their parents, as their parents have insisted on being merely outwardly religious. Being religious without having the living Word and Christ as the center is empty and absolutely phony. Good will never flow from this type of upbringing. It is not too late then to start a right, mothers and housewives and grandmothers. With you as the shining example, arrange for your children to attend a church every Sunday. And then also, enroll your children in Sunday school. Help them to memorize verses of God's Word. Words of strength and consolation and encouragement. True words of total forgiveness. During your Sunday meal, discuss the Sunday sermon and ask your children what they learned from their Sunday school teacher. Let your children know that you are just as excited and interested in learning about God and His grace as they are. Then, later in life, when your children leave your home, you can say goodbye knowing that they possess effective weapons to fight off all the attacks of the evil one. Having raised your children in the true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sudden sting of death will also be absent from life, and funerals shall become celebrations. Should banks fail and even governments fall, you as parents and grandparents can continue in life, knowing that your loved ones are safe in the everlasting arms of the Almighty God. Yes, the arrows of the devil may strike them, but these afflictions shall never destroy the souls of your saved loved ones. The flames of hell shall have no power to destroy them. Wives, homemakers, mothers, and grandmothers, we need you and the Lord needs you. It is our earnest prayer today that each of you will rejoice in the influential role that God has given to you. Instead of constantly complaining about the state of the world, and instead of always expecting others to take the first step, consider a new approach for this coming week. You, yes, you as mothers and as wives, as homemakers and as grandmothers, you take the first step and examine the spiritual needs of your family. Work to improve arrangements where your loved ones are already hearing and studying the Word of God. And if no such opportunities exist, begin now to initiate them. Begin visiting local churches. Read literature available on the tract rack. And inquire as to whether the pastor believes the Bible to be the true Word of God and whether Jesus Christ is the center of all preaching and teaching. And then when you find such a church, arrange for your family, including the children, to attend every week. Yes, you mothers and grandmothers, make sure that your family is fed spiritually. And make absolutely sure that your loved ones are properly nourished spiritually. And when you do this, trusting all things into the hands of Jesus, who died and rose again also for you, then great shall be your reward in heaven. Women, housewives, mothers and grandmothers, we need you. God needs you, and our nation in this hour desperately needs you. Without you, we could never go forward. We love you. We support you, and we thank God every day for you. Congratulations, today is your day. May God grant it to be so in your life, and in your home, and in your family. Amen.